The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
All right, Craig, thank you. I don't know if I want to approach this topic or not. This is so depressing. Here's the Tribune article. Several more San Luis Obispo County locations have joined a growing club that's getting less exclusive by the year. California cities with a median home price of, wait for it, over $1 million. Keep in mind, this is the median home price, the average home price. According to Zillow's most recent analysis, median home prices in three more San Luis Obispo County communities, San Luis, Arroyo Grande, and Cambria, passed $1 million in early 2024, doubling the number of million-dollar cities in the county. In 2023, the local list was limited to three beach communities, Cayucas, Avila, and Pismo. But continued home price increases motivated by high interest rates throughout 2023 pushed the prices up across the county. Holy cow. Michael Aaron Woody joins us. Mr. Woody, nice to see you.
A pleasure to be here as always.
Thanks for coming in. You're a homeowner.
Yes.
Were you to move in now? You came over from Fresno. Could you be a homeowner today in Morro Bay?
That's a really good question, considering what we paid for this. I'm not 100% sure. Probably not, definitely not the house I'm in right now.
Well, some people know my story. I own a house. Mm-hmm. I'm in a house because I got hit by a car, mm-hmm. and I had a really good lawyer.
I don't want to laugh. I really don't.
I get it.
Yeah.
But if I hadn't been hit by a car and gotten the settlement, even with the settlement,
yeah.
today I could not buy my house.
That's unbelievable.
Right? I bought my house in June of 2021.
Okay.
And I got in just in time. I could not afford that house today because the price, the worth has shot up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, I look at the price, the theoretical price on the house I'm in right now, and I have to shake my head. And I've talked to some real estate friends of mine, and they've thrown out around that same number, and I thought, you've got to be kidding me. This is ridiculous.
So what's your reaction to the million-dollar club now spreading across our county? I know we have six.
Yeah. And Morro Bay is not one of them.
Not yet.
Yeah.
It will be.
Oh, yeah. Very quickly. You know, it's something that I know you and I have chatted about before, and I've heard this from some other people as well, especially yesterday at a meeting I was at. This is unsustainable. Not high prices, for one second, and hear me out when I say this. I mean, the fact that we have this type of high prices with our homes, our median homes, and compare it to the types of jobs that are truly available out here in this San Luis Obispo County, the driving force that is out here with the economy, or one of the biggest ones, is tourism. And tourism does not put together high-paying jobs that would afford million-dollar homes by any stretch of the imagination. Now, it's not to say that there are not people out here who don't have high-paying jobs. Of course they're out here, but not at the level that they should be in order to have something like this.
Well, and we've talked about this on the show before. Mm-hmm. You got a couple things taking place. Number one, you've got people retiring on the Central Coast
yes.
who have come here from L.A. or San Francisco, and they've done quite well.
Yes.
I'm not begrudging them anything.
No.
But it's the fact of life. They've come here, and this is where they retire. Mm-hmm. Secondly, with COVID, people fled L.A. and San Francisco, and they wanted to work somewhere remotely. So they came here, and they went to Tahoe.
Yeah.
But they came with money.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. And they said, well, listen, now that I can work remote, what am I doing here in, you know, Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Jose, whatever? And they ended up showing up to a lot of these communities. And all of a sudden, you had these skyrocketing prices. supply and demand, and everything just continues to balloon as it is right now. But it's like what so many people and so many of us are saying, this is just not sustainable economically.
And I throw into the mix, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow on the show, next Tuesday, the County Board of Supervisors is devoting the whole meeting to the Dana Reserve housing project that's been proposed in South County. And people are arguing we build more houses, that's how we bring the price down.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You have to have a competitive market for anything in order to bring the housing prices down. Most of the homes that are being sold, I know at least in the last 10 years, I can't tell you in the last 6 months, but I can tell you in the last 10 years, the predominant number of them have been not new homes, they've been used homes. So in order to get people, in order to get these housing prices somewhere a little more stable, if not even bringing them down a little bit, is you need a competitive housing market. But you have forces out there that are constantly saying, well, let's find an excuse to stop every project that's being proposed out there. And because they say, and I think a lot of them have very noble causes for them, which is, you know, well, we're concerned about the environment, environmental issues. We don't want to, you know, disrupt something. Okay, I get that. But at the end of the day, this becomes part of the result of this.
Talk about CEQA.
Oh, CEQA, yeah. I mean, talking about some of the reasons for all of this, you know, you could, one of the things we deal with in California is something called the California Environmental Quality Act of 1970. What was interesting about CEQA when it was adopted in 1970 is that was supposed to apply to government projects. And so as it was written, it applied to government projects. But in 1972, the state Supreme Court came in a ruling and said that the definition of a government project is any project that's approved by government agency. Now we get into 1972 and it turns into, wait a minute here. That means every subdivision, every commercial project, every project that has to be approved by a government agency has to go through CEQA. Now, a lot of them do get what's called a negative declaration of environmental concerns, so they don't have to go through the whole process. But the fact is that even when government agencies come in and give a neg dec to a particular project, it does not prevent people from coming in there and suing the local agency in order to stop and put a hold on all of these projects. So when that happens, you create an incredible layer that's been going on for, my gosh, it would be over 50 years now, that has really started creating problems with housing. This is just one of many of the problems. Now, no other state that I've been able to locate has CEQA defined this way in their state, where every project can go through something like that. Basically, what happens in most other places is that if you have what's required by the local government, the local building department, et cetera, through your zoning and whatnot, then you have a right to build on that property based on the zoning of that property that you're already entitled to. So now that you have that, you can build and move forward with the project, but not in California.
On the Stolberg text line, listeners saying, there's nothing we can do about this. Los Angeles and San Francisco have arrived with their $2 million pocketbooks.
Yeah, now this is an interesting one, is that everybody has to always remember a basic concept of housing too, which is it's not a normal market like going to the grocery store or buying your car or something like that. Housing is based on a bid market. In other words, the actual price of a house on an open market is what two people are willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could build a house for, let's say, I'm throwing out numbers. Let's say you can build a house hard cost for $500,000. But, you know, you can keep all your costs down and waive all your fees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But as long as you have two people, you and I walk in the room, or anybody, two people walk in the room and say, I'm willing to pay $2.2 million for it, and the other one's willing to pay $2.1 million, guess what? It's going to go for $2 million.
So it's a free market, and that's just the way it's going to be, and nothing we can do about it.
Well, until you get something more competitive, because if you only have X amount of homes out there to sell, then somebody will come in and say, well, that's the only one, but I desperately want to live here. But if you have a more competitive market, it could push back on some of these prices.
And I know you're not Lindsay Harn, but no. we don't know the numbers. I mean, what would be the magic number? How many more houses do we need to bring the prices down?
I would think... Now, I'm not a real estate.
Yeah.
I'm not Lindsay.
You're not Lindsay Harn.
No, not by stretch of imagination. Lindsay, I'm telling you this. Is that, you know, let's take in consideration a basic mathematical concept. The population of this planet doubles about every 50 some odd years. Okay. Now, I would like to think that if you're going to at least stabilize things, your housing and your residences should keep up with basic population growth. But I'm not Lindsay.
All right. And what, boy, we could spend the whole hour on this. Yeah. It's also the idea that when we talk about more housing, that doesn't mean more of what we have. It means rethinking our concept of housing. And I mean, I just got back from Amsterdam and, mm-hmm. and the Netherlands, and they're not giving you a house with a big front yard.
Yeah.
Right. They're giving you like what we would call a condo, and people are moving in and common space and condo kind of complexes.
Oh, exactly. I mean, we have a certain way that we view housing out here in America, especially out here in California. We have the ultimate American dream and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, even look at people where they want to live in San Luis Obispo County. You know, there are more ideal places to live than others. And if you tell somebody, hey, let's do a subdivision of homes in what I think is a wonderful community is actually Creston or Santa Margarita, it's not as, quote, desirable as living in, you know, on beachfront property in Avila or something like that.
Meanwhile, I remind folks that our fine housing reporter at the Tribune, John Lynch, lives in a room in a house with a bathroom.
Yeah.
Because that's what he could afford.
Yes.
And he's exactly. The housing reporter.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We got a lot to cover. Michael Ari Woody is here. We have more communities now on the Central Coast joining the Million Dollar Housing Club. Not necessarily a good sign, I argue. We'll pick up the conversation. Your thoughts still to come. All that straight ahead on Hometown Radio. Just joining us, we're talking about this article in the Tribune. Three Slow County cities just joined the $1 million home price club. The median price over $1 million now in San Luis, Arroyo Grande, and Cambria. But Craig Hill, no Los Osos. Los Osos is still affordable.
I actually checked it. Lindsay Harn came in. I had a little chat with her today. And she talked about being able to evaluate your home on her website. So if you go to lindsayharn.com, you can find out what your house is worth. And I did that very same thing today. And the house that I am currently in is about $980,000.
You're almost there, buddy.
Almost there.
Almost there.
Yeah, almost a millionaire on paper.
So what do you think about all this?
I think people are looking at the wrong direction. If you build more homes, that's especially affordable homes, guess what? They're going to get scooped up by private equity firms like BlackRock, KKR, and Invitation Homes, because those companies are the ones. They're not buying all the homes. They're buying the most important homes, the ones that are affordable. Yep. And because they're a large corporation, they're getting better interest rates on the purchase. So they're actually able to buy homes that are like $20,000 over that they would normally be able to buy per home for a rental for an investment property. And I'm looking at Invitation. They own 82,000 single-family homes. BlackRock said they are investing, let's see, I'm looking at, what is it, $200 billion over the next few years. International buyers are purchasing $59 billion. So you have private equity firms and international buyers that are coming in, scooping up low-cost housing because you can get that 10% ROI to make it a good investment for people to actually have an income and park their money. Because you have money, let's say Hong Kong, you're looking at over Asian countries, their banking is not the most secure because it can be scooped up by China any second. So what they're doing is they're offshoring their investment money in the United States property so that way they have a hedge in case something happens overseas.
Yeah, Michael?
So that's what's happening. So if we build a billion new $100,000 houses, they're going to get scooped up by a million different little equity firms, and we're still not going to have enough homes.
Let me piggyback on that on the Stolberg text line. We need to be thinking about sustainability seven generations out. We can't build out if this wealth inequality issue, more homes attracts more out-of-area buyers. Combine this with Craig.
Well, okay. Let me start with the text real quick. You know, the more houses, you know, more out-of-town buyers. I think the real issue here still goes back to the concept of you have to have a competitive market. If we do nothing, it will exacerbate the problem. I don't think for one second that, you know, as Craig was saying, if you build a billion homes out here, well, billion homes, never mind. But
a lot of homes.
That's a lot of homes. But okay. If you go out there and you build a really competitive market, every place that I've ever seen, whether you have private equity firms coming in or whatnot, having a competitive market is always going to be important. The more that we sit there and say, hey, let's just simply, you know, do nothing about it. Well, if we're going to do nothing, then the problem will continue to get worse.
But I think Craig's right that, and we've seen this across the country, these private equity firms are coming in, scooping up houses.
Okay, but at the end of the day, if we really want to know how many of those private equity firms are doing here in San Luis Obispo, then let's put the numbers on the table. But I don't think for one second that, you know, all of these homes in San Luis Obispo County are being scooped up by private equity firms. I'm seeing them being sold to actually individuals.
But I would say the reason that they are able to come here and buy these houses mm-hmm. is because they're what's called an equity immigrant. They sold their house in somewhere elseville, California
yeah, sure.
for, you know, $10 million, and now they're able to come here and buy really nice properties, and not just one property. The individual is able to buy the property they own and maybe a rental property as well. I actually know somebody that just sold a house, I think it was $1.5 million paid cash, and came from San Francisco. They're a developer, web developer type, mm-hmm. paid cash because of what they sold up there.
Yep.
And because of those prices outside of this area, that's also driving prices up here because it's driving up the demand.
So, gentlemen, the question before we take the break of the news is, do we do nothing?
No, I circle back and say...
this is not sustainable.
No, I circle back to saying the most fundamental issue is this. You have to have a competitive housing market in all these areas, starting with San Luis Obispo County. The next thing you have, which we don't have here, because we're constantly stopping all these projects. The next thing you need to have is we need to sit there and take a look at what our personal expectations are for living out here. I have known far too many people in this community, in this region, who seem to be losing their mind because, you know, they want to live out here, and gosh darn it, why can't I buy a beachfront piece of property or rent a condo for $1,500 a month out there and walk outside my front door and put my toes in the ocean?
Because the 70s are over.
Right. They're well put. And therein lies, you know, you start with a competitive housing market, you start with people's expectations and understanding what housing is if you're going to live in one of these coastal communities. I mean,
Craig, what do we do? Or do we do nothing?
Well, I have one idea, but it's kind of it runs against the grain of my normal value system, which is we would treat housing like we do with radio. Radio is considered a public trust. You can't own a million radio stations. In fact, you have to limit the number you own in any market to five. Like, that's why we only have the five stations here. So if we limited ownership, so that way massive corporations couldn't scoop up an entire blocks like they're doing in other parts of the country. So if you want to own a house, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's fine. You can own in a certain area a certain limited number of houses. Also, we would eliminate foreign own. You cannot be a foreign corporation and own a broadcast company because, once again, public trust.
So, well, they did that up in Vancouver with the Chinese because yeah. the Chinese were taking over Vancouver.
Exactly. The same problem that we're having here. And forget that it's Chinese. It's just foreign owned and yeah. large government or large property ownership. So if we were to limit it, like we do with radio stations and other broadcast stations, to limited ownership, no foreign ownership, I bet the prices would become quite reasonable.
What do you think about that, Michael?
I don't think so. I think what you have there is this, I think that's a pie-in-the-sky solution to this, because I will keep harping on this over and over, is that this idea of saying, well, what we're going to do is let's limit somebody from coming in from overseas, and if they're not an American, you know, resident here, then they can't buy something. Well, there's going to be ways to get around that, but even when you do something like that, it's not going to truly drive down your prices. Because what you're going to end up with is you're going to end up with the same situation that we have with these, the trailer parks.
Yeah.
And forgive me, I know this is
terrible. The mobile home parks.
Thank you. Forgive me for my tackiness.
The lovely mobile home parks.
The mobile home parks, thank you, the trailer parks. The mobile home parks. You end up with that type of economic situation where it sounds, or controlled rent or anything else. Government coming in and taking over any part of the economy and saying that this is our answer just doesn't work, and it never has.
Meanwhile, I advocate for more mobile home parks.
Thank you.
But that's to be continued. We got news, traffic, weather. Michael, Aaron, Woody, Craig Hill, and I sitting around talking about housing. I look forward to hearing from you as we continue. Always good to be with you on Hometown Radio. If you're just joining us, Michael, Aaron Woody, and Craig and I are having a conversation about this article in the Tribune. According to Zillow's most recent analysis, median home prices in San Luis Obispo, Rio Grande, and Cambria passed $1 million. So we now have six communities just within the county where the median price is more than $1 million. And obviously, that is not going to change. Let's hear from Scott in San Luis on KVEC. Hey, Scott.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Scott. Hey.
I agree, Dave. The remote at home has shot up the prices from 2021 to 2023. If you not notice, we've got a lot of New Yorkers living here in San Luis Obispo. The thing is that a lot of these New Yorkers that are coming here, they are 300,000 plus annual income home buyers, and they're buying on the average of $1.5 million homes, basic homes, three bedroom, two bath, two car garage. You know, homes that would have sold 10 years ago would have been sold for $600,000. They're easily paying $1.5, $1.6. And nobody from working at Cal Poly or graduates from Cal Poly, those people are never going to be able to buy a home. You know, and it's just we're stuck in this process until there's some bright idea. And I think what Texas and Florida have done, which is interesting, they put their foot down on foreign buyers to buy in their states, particularly the Chinese, and that's helped them to keep their prices slightly down. But also, I think that California needs to reconsider the Prop 19. So if people are going to buy out of state, then I think that Prop 19 should not be allowed. Because then they'll reconsider not buying here, for example.
What about volume, Scott? Do we need to build more houses?
Well, we're not fixing the population, that's for sure. So we keep growing as a population. You know, the border is one issue, because we always got to find housing for people that don't have housing at all. So we don't know where they're putting them. But you keep building and building, so you're getting smaller homes. And, the days of basic homes with three-bedroom, two-car garage, you know, that the average family bought in the 80s and the 90s, that's gone. Now you're getting shoeboxes. So people are living in tiny homes, tiny living. And is that worth it to live in San Luis Obispo? Because that's not the town I know I grew up in. But we got a new generation that's willing to take it. And they're paying a fortune for it, which I think is silly. But go ahead.
Hang on with us, Scott. What do you say, Michael?
Yeah, Scott's pretty much got this right. Now, in terms of, and I keep going back to this, you need a competitive market combined with a change of attitude as far as living in San Luis Obispo County itself. And you need to start opening up these other smaller regional communities with working with the local school district to put in the schools that people are looking for and putting the homes that people are looking for and the condos and the apartments and start developing these other regions around San Luis Obispo.
Well, someone's texting on the Stolberg line arguing just that. Why aren't we building more in Crescent, San Miguel, et cetera, where there's space?
That's because we have there's two issues involved with that. Number one is that people have to change their thought process over living in this county. Number two, in order to get people in those areas, what I've seen all throughout California and in other states, because I work in construction, by the way, is that people will also want to go where the quality of life is at, and that starts with your school districts. So the local community and county need to work with your school districts and start creating those communities in other areas.
What else, Scott?
Well, you said communities. It's one thing that some of these new home buyers are coming from out of state. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that we have bad health care. So they find out eventually, oh, shoot, I paid $1.5 million and I can't find a doctor. And the health care is bad. But I'm paying all that money to live here. That's one thing we don't talk about a lot. But the one thing I noticed after 2021 or 2020 was Prop 19. Mm-hmm. And that's also kicking our butts, too. You know, people they're passing on can't pass those properties on their kids, so therefore they get put on the market, and it shoots the comps up everywhere. And therefore, it's just more competitive, and no one can afford it that lives here. So we're seeing all these buyers that are buying here that are just San Francisco, New York, New Jersey, and they're just out buying everybody. And what do we do about it?
Well, what do we do about it, Scott?
Michael.
Sorry.
Sorry, Scott. He thinks I'm you now.
I
so there
I
you go.
I can't keep up with this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I said, I'm going to keep going back to the same thing. I'm a broken record here today for the next hour. Competitive market, you work with your local school districts, you start opening up these other communities in the county.
What about Prop 19, though? You think Scott's onto something there?
I think so, because that has to do with your... Scott, correct me on this. That has to do with passing on property to your descendants. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tom Bordenaro did talk about it on here a few times. If someone passes on, I'm hearing that as if you're a child, you have to move into that property right away.
Yeah.
But then I've heard other people said, no, that doesn't exist anymore.
Sounds like we need to get Tom back on the show.
I know it does exist, but let's not go there, yeah.
All right, Scott, thanks for checking in. We go to Paul in San Luis. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Dave. Hello,
hey, Paul.
Michael.
Hi.
Now, I haven't heard all of the show. I just kind of heard snippets. But have you guys kind of addressed the impact of industrial or, you know, these people that are going in, these hedge funds and these...
Yeah, Craig was talking about that earlier. All right.
Okay. You know, so, Michael, what do you think about that? And how that affects the housing industry in general.
I think overall in the United States, there are pockets from what I've seen that have been directly affected by that, but I'm not aware of that taking place here in San Luis Obispo or San Luis Obispo County by any great means. Not that I've been able to locate, but I do know there are other larger communities where foreign investors and hedge funds and whatnot have gone in and they've invested tremendous volumes of money on buying up blocks of land, et cetera, just as you're talking about. But I'm not seeing it here in this area. But please correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Are you seeing it, Paul?
I haven't seen it here, but I know that it's really affecting the markets around here. You know, in different, you know, they really target Sunbelt states.
Yeah.
And I think 60 Minutes had a big story about it. I mean, these guys go in and they use bonds and stocks, you know, to just buy tens of thousands of homes, you know, in areas, and then they jack up the rents.
That's totally wrong.
What's that?
It's totally wrong. I mean, you're right, but the policy, I think, is wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And here they are. I mean, I think it should be that something should be done to keep that from happening.
Well, Scott was saying in Texas and Florida, they're passing laws to restrict that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. They need to do it here, too. But one of the things that I think, Michael, that really affects us here, of course, is Cuesta and Cal Poly.
Sure.
And you know, you're talking about why don't they build places where they have land. You know, I've always thought, why can't they build student housing out there at Cuesta College? They got all the room in the world out there. And I just don't understand why they don't put some student housing out there. I think that would relieve some of the pressure, you know, in San Luis Obispo.
That is a really good question, one that I do not have the answer to, but
probably don't want the hassle.
I'll tell you what, it'd be good to get some people from Cuesta in here to answer something like that.
I'll make it happen, Dad.
Wow.
Thank you. All right, Paul, thank you. We've got John in the Pomo. Hi, John.
Hey, Dave. Hey,
John.
Hey, I'm Michael. You know, there's something that happened just this week that is going to hopefully put a pretty good-sized dent in the housing situation, and that is the Supreme Court ruled 9-0. 9-0. That's a unanimous. Mm-hmm. They ruled that developers and homeowners that are paying these exorbitant fees for future road improvements and
sure.
These different fees, there was a particular name for them. It slips my mind right now. But for instance, we put in a mobile home in the Pomo, and they had us pay $10,000 for future road improvements. It just went into the general fund. There was no improvements on the road, and you know, the Supreme Court decided that that was a taking, an unnecessary taking. And it's going to stop, basically. That's going to reduce a lot of development costs for big developers and for individual houses. So that should put a little bit of a dent in it.
It will put... Now, here's what's interesting, is that things like that, the developer fees, the school fees, the road improvement fees, et cetera, that you're talking about, those can have a direct impact in communities that are not being sought out across the country that are just normal growing communities where you have a competitive market and people building homes and subdivisions, et cetera. The problem with a place like these coastal communities, like exactly where we're at here in San Luis Obispo, is that whether or not you could build a house for $500,000 or you've got to build it for $600,000 or $650,000 won't change the bottom line that's still going to sell for $1.5 to $2 million down the road. So the impact of those fees on the final end prices, what we're finding in a lot of these markets, doesn't have a overly direct effect on something like that, as opposed to areas in which, you know, you've got such a highly competitive market out there that everybody's cutting their cost just so they can scrape by as a developer and make bare minimum on each house. So those types of things don't necessarily affect that. Number two, when it comes to this community in San Luis Obispo, the vast majority of homes that are being sold in San Luis Obispo County are used homes. So those fees have nothing to do with that. So I completely agree with your point on that.
John, what else from you?
Yeah, I think you've got some good points there. That's for sure. It's just that I look at it as a step in the right direction.
Yeah. You know, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Cutting some government costs down and making it a little bit easier to develop the properties is part of the most important thing. And, you know, I hate to say, one other thing I could say is that Craig's idea is not a good idea. If the government is more involved, then the government will choose who they favor to move into those different houses and stuff like that. So I know I understand what he's trying to do, but you don't want the government, the officials, to say, no, we like this class of person there and this class of person here, or this whatever, and this guy paid off the election expenses, so we're going to let him develop or something like that. You know, you want less of that, I think.
All right, John, thanks for checking in. Craig, he wants less government.
Well, no, I'm all for less government, and don't get me wrong. I'm not necessarily fully for what I was saying. What I'm saying is there has to be something, and that's an idea. I had literally had 3 minutes to come up with a solution to California's crisis. It was just the idea of regulating home ownership the way we regulate radio ownership. Yeah. And I got a few numbers for you. As of October of 22, which is the most recent stuff I can find, 9 Wall Street firms own more than 200,000 homes in 13 states. In Sacramento, the private equity firm Blackstone Group is the largest private landlord in the county. And in California, Invitation Homes owns, this is as of a year and a half ago, 16,000 houses. And in LA and Riverside County, 8,000 single family homes, not apartments, homes are owned by institutional investors. If you were to dump, let's say, 7,000 of those homes on the market, would that lower the cost or raise the cost? It would obviously lower the cost of homes. Sure. Yeah. So instead of building more, how about we free up more inventory by removing ownership from private equity firms and giving them to the American people?
How about that, Mike?
But I'm not sure legally you could just come in and pass a law and then they'd have to all give up their homes at this point. I think they're pretty much grandfathered in at this point. I mean, I get statistically what you're saying, and you're right. It's a supply and demand issue. It's a free market issue. You release 10,000 homes into the market. Yeah, it's going to lower that.
All right. And we'll come back for a final segment with Mr. Woody. More of your phone calls still to come. We're live. We're local. You're listening to The Dave Congleton Show. All right, if you want in this conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. Michael Aaron Woody is our guest. We've got all these million-dollar homes. The median price, not the actual price, the median price now is over $1 million. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Meanwhile, Michael, on the Stolberg text line, text number one, I thought we didn't have enough water. Listener has a valid point. For years, we were told that we couldn't add to the housing base because we didn't have the water.
Well, yes, and water is a serious issue out here, but it's not preventing people from actually building homes in subdivision at this point. I mean, there is a water issue, but it's not so bad that we have to put a moratorium on anything.
Text number two on the Stolberg line. I see a lot of stack and pack housing being built. I'm not sure how to react to that. Where is that being built?
They're
just in San Luis alone. There are 3 new developments, but clearly it's not enough.
Yeah, I think I'm assuming what they're talking about, what comes to my mind is that one project off of, was it Madonna Road?
San Luis Ranch.
Yeah, San Luis Ranch. And when you drive through there, it's like, you know, it's pretty cramped in there.
Very tiny. I've been in some of those.
Yeah.
And very tiny.
That's why I keep going back. The communities that have been able to make a dent in these types of situations for the last 30, 40 years that I've seen, you have a county and your cities working with your county school districts, looking at other areas across the map and working together as a team to start developing new areas in the entire county. I don't see that happening here.
Text number 3 on the Stahlberg line. Only 30% of American couples have kids. I don't think it's about the need for schools. It's more about retirees coming here, which has been not the problem. It's been the challenge.
Yeah, that has been a huge challenge.
People are in LA and San Francisco and they're retiring. This is where they want to come.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I still go back to the most basic concept that when you talk about your first time home buyers who are truly having the struggle here, it's not the hedge fund guy who comes here and says, hey, I got more money than I know what to do with, and let's just go buy a $3 million home on the coast. You know, we're talking about just normal blue collar people living here in this community, that getting out of college or starting a family. We've got to get them places to live. And those are the ones that are looking for the schools and the school districts and those amenities.
Also on the Stahlberg text line, the listener says the counties are making millions off the property tax, off the price of housing.
I suppose they are.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what that means.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
So let's go to Kelly in Morro Bay. Hey, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi.
What I was wondering, if we hit another economy like we did in 2008, what's going to happen with these big conglomerates that have bought up all the housing?
That's a good question.
That is the million-dollar question. I would assume that they would.
And another thing is who's going to pick up the tab on this one?
When the economy collapses?
You are,
yes,
Kelly.
Kelly, you're in Morro Bay, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, obviously you'll see it out there, but yeah, I think Kelly's got a good point on this, is that in reality, you're going to have people, if this economy collapses, I shouldn't say when, let me not, hold on, but if it does, you're going to see a lot of people dumping their homes, and you're going to see these home prices just crumble to the ground real quick. That's what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened in 2008. But what happens to these big conglomerates? Are they going to be dumping,
thousands
of homes at the same time? I mean,
I would think they would. I don't see why they wouldn't, which would start driving your prices down, I'm thinking.
Hmm. Yeah.
How do you like living in Morro Bay?
Not too bad. Hmm. Pretty good.
Glad to hear it. Kelly, thanks for checking in. Craig, what's this updated information? This is precisely
this
our county?
Yeah, this is an article recently in February from Redfin.com. Investors bought 26% of the country's most affordable homes.
Okay.
In the fourth quarter. And that's just in the fourth quarter.
All right, but that's in the country. I'm just curious about the county. Let's go to Mark in San Luis. Hey, Mark.
Hey, gentlemen. You don't have to worry about the conglomerates. They know how to buy homes. These are savvy investors. They have cash flow. Mm-hmm. They can take a hit and hold. People will still have to live and pay rent regardless of the economy. But Woody, to your point of the housing, you know, the state of California used to participate in 25% of housing tracts. They would pay sewer, streets, and so forth and invest in the – now they pay none. The city of San Luis Obispo pays zero, and they charge them hundreds, if not millions of dollars in fees.
Yes.
And then they tax the buyer with the Melrose fee. Mm-hmm. Like the one on San Luis Ranch is for 40 years. It adjusts 2% every year with a maximum payment of $3,500 a year. So, I mean, there's nothing conducive to building homes right now for anybody. Okay? California stepped out of it. The city stepped out of it. And then you go to the buyer and you say, you know what? I want out of that. I want a certain percentage of affordable housing. You're going to turn those over to me. Okay, and that all gets passed right on. That just averages out to the buyer. I mean, that, you know, you take 20 homes at you know, $800,000 a piece, and you pass that on to the buyers. That's a lot of money. I mean, it just costs. So that's your housing market. That's the reality of it. So you, between the state and the city interfering with it and not helping, and it's just not going to get better.
Mark, thanks for checking in. Short response.
Okay, then I would assume that we're talking about, you know, making sure that we start removing all those developer fees then at that point. That's what I'm getting from the caller at this point.
Yeah.
But I think let me go to the next caller. You're right, yes.
All right. Mark, thank you. Our last call goes to Greg in Cayucas. Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys, just real quickly in closing here, I know we've got a minute.
You got 2 minutes.
Your last caller was excellent. I've been in this business for 45 years selling real estate in California. We are in the fourth cycle that I've been in. I have never seen a cycle that did not retract after it hit its peak. And the message there is, if history is going to repeat itself like it has over the last 60 or 70 years, prices will retract. You can never understand that when we're riding high. You can never believe it's going to drop. And when it's at the bottom, you can never believe it's going to go up again. And that's just human nature, but it probably will.
But what might cause the prices to retract, Greg?
Some sort of economical, something in the economy that causes a major retraction. Public perception always has a lot to do with it. There's any number of factors, and exactly what will cause this next retraction is hard to predict at this point.
Yeah, and you're right, and you're exactly right. It's like with me and my family. I mean, we've been involved in housing and construction and commercial construction, hotels and everything else for the last, 35, 40 years now. And we have seen cycle after cycle after cycle. I don't think this is sustainable at all. I mean, every time I've seen this in the past, this thing is going to come crumbling down pretty quickly, especially where the economy is at with inflation.
Yeah, but Greg, will that make it more possible for these large companies to scoop in and buy these houses?
Theoretically, if we don't do something to prevent that, yeah, that's a possibility. I think we need to enact some sort of legislation that would prevent that, though.
We're overdue. Yeah. All right, Greg, thanks for checking in. Another nice job by Mr. Michael Aaron Woody, who has 30 seconds for a final thought.
It really comes back to whatever we can do to create a better, more competitive market out here. It's tough to do in California, especially with things like CEQA, and then every time you turn around and want to do anything, you've got groups coming in and suing everybody. The other one is, and a shout out to all the developers out there, because these guys get a bum rap. I really do believe this. Because these are the ones that are going out there investing their money and trying to make a community happen. But every time we hear the word developer, especially in this region, we think they're just some bad, evil person. And these are people that are trying to build the communities.
Let's give a shout out to many of the developers.
Yes.
All right. Let's not make it blanket. Mr. Woody, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the time. Off we go. News, traffic, weather. Back on the other side with Dr. James Papp. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.